Blog Talk Radio.
Their hearts and in their minds. So
when the church and the world says that they are not up under the law, and if they are up under the New Testament, the New Covenant, and then they don't keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, it is a very grievous contradiction. And people seem to just be making up what they want to do. Nevertheless, we want to be right with the Most High. We want to know what we are coming into and what we are agreeing to, not with a zealousness that is ignorant, not with ignorant zealous. But we want to have a zeal of the Most High and to serve Him with a zeal, but according to knowledge. We want to know what we're getting into, what we are saying that we are agreeing to do. That way, we can't seem ignorant, can't seem that we didn't know. And on top of that, then we don't start judging outside of His word, making our own judgments outside of what He has already said in certain situations or in all things, even that we are able to bring the spirit of the law forward into the New Testament and to obey the Most High. So with that being said, we want to greet you in Pal Talk Land and Blog Talk Land on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you by the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. On this morning, as I was reviewing and just even talking just now, a verse came into my heart concerning about the teaching of the law, the doing of the law, the commandment. And I have to find this verse. It's in the New Testament, and I want to get it for this morning because it's relevant. And I would like everybody to go there and to review it. So let's do this. Let us do our statement of faith on this morning, reaffirming, you know, our commitment to the Most High, the things that we affirm it and believe. And let me get my glasses. I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. And before I proceed any further, we may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, turn toward the east. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe in your night. We thank you for securing us. We thank you for first loving us. Hallelujah. We just glorify you, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We will worship you and you alone, Father, for you alone are Elohim, all by yourself. You said that we should not bow down and give ourselves to anyone but you. Father, we affirm this morning that we only will worship you, we'll only give our adoration to you, and we will only obey you. Hallelujah. That we will fear you, Father. We will fear you with a reverence, with a fear that is only you deserve. You say, fear nothing else. Fear your parents and to fear you. And Father, we just worship and glorify you and lift you up this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We magnify your name. For you alone are Elohim, all by yourself. You are our Father. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior, our Provider. And you say, if we would but just obey your voice. So, Father, we come to you this morning seeking your faith, seeking your word, and what you would have us to do in Yeshua HaMashiach. All right, holy hands raised to the Most High, Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us, and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways. We are turning from our sin and turning back towards you. Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon Israel by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn now your eyes and your ears back toward your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity, that we might be in your kingdom. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, Father, as many as you should call in Mashiach, that they would come, Father, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Hear our prayers, Father. Now, as we go into the kingdom, as we go before you this day in the vineyard, Father, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, starting in chapter 8, verse 46 through 53. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they, and they being Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carry them away captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servants and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to function in the Most High. Give me a minute here. All right. The blowing of the shofar. the elect of the Most High. We want to be his elite guard. We want to be those men and women who obey his voice, who obey his voice, who hear his commandments and obey, not hear them and teach people, oh, you ain't got to keep that one. And those don't apply today when they actually really do. And then start making up stuff, making up our own tradition, our own standards, and teaching men our standards and our tradition. The Most High said, don't do that. Okay? So let's continue. We are in the book of Leviticus. We were in chapter 16 last night. The book of Leviticus, chapter 16. And we were talking about cleanliness. And we were talking about the cleanliness of man, of a man, and the cleanliness of a woman. Okay. On last night in chapter 15 and in 16, we talk about the Most High coming out from under the veil. We have tabernacle, we have trumpets coming up, and trumpets is how he's going to come back to us when he returns and he blinks out the sun and the moon and the stars. And he starts his descent from heaven. He says, and every eye shall see him. There's not going to be any other light except for him. And he's going to come with the sounding of these trumpets. And the trumpet sound is going to get louder and louder and louder and louder. To match the the magnificence and the magnitude of the Most High. It's going to come in such a way that the world will be amazed. So we want to, be mindful of the Feast of Trumpets coming up and our observance of it on the night of the 5th of September. It's also the Feast of the New Moon that same night. And so we will be before the Most High in celebration and in eager anticipation, even though we're not supposed to pray for that day, that it should come, the day of Yah. We do still eagerly look forward to his return, especially those that are his elect, those that obey his voice, that hear his commandments, that don't come up with their own judgment. Yah has said that Satan, the Antichrist, that he's going to be given power even over the elect of the Most High, that he should kill some because they're not going to obey. But you got to be the elect to not the elect to not to follow him, to not to follow Antichrist, to not to go after the ways of the world, to not try to fit in, with what the crowd is doing, to go with as in the democratic government, to go with the majority of the people. If we go with the majority of the people, every time you look in this word, with those who are following the Most High, they have always been in the minority. The prophets were always in a minority. In the nation of Israel, even with the Most High leading them and performing miracles and wonders and signs among them, it wasn't. All he had to do was not speak a couple of days, and they were right back at their shenanigans, doing, that which they knew they ought not to do. Just told you don't worship other Elohim. Don't make an Elohim out of gold or silver or any of that stuff. But they were right back at it. So we don't want to be those people. We want to be his elite. We want to be worshiping him. And obeying his voice in all matters. All right, let us go to Leviticus chapter 16. And we sort of started this last night. Let me see how far we got last night. Actually, let's go to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which Yah hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that kills an ox, a lamb, or a goat in the camp, or kills it out of the camp, and brings it not to the door of the tabernacle and of the congregation, to offer an offering unto Yah before the tabernacle of Yah, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood. Now, think about what he's saying here. Now, I brought this verse to you guys a couple of lessons ago. I told you that at one time I wanted to do, you know, a blood sacrifice to the Most High, and not for sin, because there's other sacrifices in the scriptures that are not for sin. And the Most High, you know, I didn't go through with it, and the Most High didn't put it on my heart to continue with it, but then he showed me, again, where this was wrong. And so we are at this verse again in the law, and he's telling us, hey, if a man kills an ox or a sheep or a goat, or let's see what other animal he says here, so don't leave out no animals, but it's really going to be all those animals that are supposed to be fit for sacrifice or to replace man's blood, and to atone for sin. An ox, a lamb, a goat. Okay? Those are the animals that you were allowed. Because if you kill them outside the camp and don't bring them to the tabernacle, then you were guilty of blood. You were guilty of murder. Now, these are animals. But these animals were taking the place of men, because men should have been dying. And the Most High says he's going to use the animals to allow for the atonement, to bring you back in at one with me. But if you kill these animals and it's for anything other than that, not talking about for food, but you're sacrificing them and you're sacrificing them to other Elohim, to other gods, he says you are guilty of murder. You're guilty of blood. And so, without being able to bring it to the tabernacle. And, you know, when the tabernacle was then changed into the temple, the door of the temple, you had to bring those sacrifices to the temple and allow the priest to give the Most High his portion of it, bring it to his priesthood and let them do what they were created to do. And if you didn't do that, then he said you were guilty of more or less murder of these animals. But these animals at the time, their blood was taking the place of a man's blood. And Most High, even in the covenant, allowed the animal's blood to be used to seal the covenant, because these animals were a token or a surrogate. There's another word I'm looking for here. They were a token of the man. So if you killed these animals and didn't bring that sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle where the priest could dedicate it to Yah, he says, you have murdered. He says, you are guilty of blood. So we can't do those things. And that's the very reason why we can't do it, because we don't have the tabernacle. We don't have the altar in the temple. So we can't do that. Can't go out and say, oh, let me go out into the wilderness and let me pick up the rocks that are free on the ground, you know, not the tiny rocks, but rocks that are 10, 15, 20 pounds. Let me stack them all up together and let me make an altar to the Most High out of this natural stone that has no tool come against it, no hammer, no saw. It's just this mound that has been built. And the Most High said that's the way we have to build the altar for him. It has to be natural. And then let me go and find me the most perfect, you know, lamb or sheep or ox cattle that I can find, the most perfect one, and let me come and slaughter it before this altar and dedicate it to Yah. A sacrifice, you know, do it the way that he says in the scriptures, and then, you know, burn the fat and the kidneys and the caul and all that upon the altar. And these in the past would have been a sweet smell in his nose and his nostrils. But he said, don't do it. You can't just go build you an altar wherever you want to build one. You can't go and slaughter this animal and dedicate it to me. Even if it's not, because I have not placed my name in that place. I have not said that this is my tabernacle or this is my temple. This is where I'm going to meet you at. He said, I want to meet you now in you. So even though these sacrifices are not for sin, we couldn't do them, okay? And even though being a priest of the Most High, still can't do it. It would be out of order. You know, and that goes to, it speaks toward you wanting to do a good, but it really not being a good, okay? The Most High won't see it as a good. It was in your heart to do right, but the truth of the matter is you are out of order. And I would have been out of order if I had done this. Okay, so we are at that place in the scripture, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 4 again, so that we understand. So, you know, you hear another group and they're saying, hey, we sacrifice a lamb for Passover, or we do X. Whatever they're saying that they're doing, they're telling you that they're doing these things, understand, you know, you can go to the scripture and say, no, you ought not be doing that. Okay, it is sin. You know, that includes me. Like I said, the Most High prevented me from doing it, and then he had to show me in the scriptures why. Verse 4, and bring it not unto, so this goes back to verse 3. What man soever there be of the house of Israel that kills an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and brings it not to the door, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer an offering unto Yah before the tabernacle of Yah, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. That means that you were supposed to be killed. Okay? Just that simple. Cut off from your people is to be killed. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifice, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto Yah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto Yah. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet smell unto Yah, and that they no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whore. This shall be a statute forever to them throughout their generations. So the Most High says, I want to make sure that when you out there and you sacrifice something, that you're not sacrificing it to no demon, to no devil, to some other so-called Elohim, God out there that you'd have heard of you're saying that you belong to him, but then you're going to go and make a sacrifice to something else. He says, you better bring it here. And so we don't want to be unfaithful. We don't want to be disobedient. We don't want to be disloyal. Most I says, if it's a blood sacrifice, you got to bring it to his tabernacle or his temple. And then you got to allow the priest to do the job that they were assigned to do with it, which is to offer it before the Most High and to burn it as a peace offering upon the altar. So, you know, wanting to do a good thing, wanting to make a sweet smell for the nostril of the Most High, and would have been just totally out of order. Okay. And so I thank the Most High for not allowing me to even complete that, to even start to do it. And nevertheless, you know, we want to be that sweet smell in his nostril ourselves. Okay, let's continue in the scripture. Verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for you, for your soul. See, that's why I said, when you read that verse up above, a lamb, these represented the blood of men. And so you weren't supposed to just take that animal and just kill them, especially in a sacrificial ritual. And it was not unto Yah. Okay? And so, you know, I had a lot of people that would do the same thing, but they're sacrificing it to whatever, not unto the Most High. He's not talking about killing this animal for food. Okay? He's talking about making a sacrifice out of it. And then sacrificing it to, and even if you were doing it to Yah himself, he says you got to bring it to the door of the tabernacle of the people, that it might be presented to Yah by the proper authority, the priesthood. So didn't matter if you were a stranger, didn't matter who you were, this had to be done. He says, and if you did it, if you ate the blood, because, you know, we got people out there who, they got society in the Sahara Desert that just drink blood. They have a shortage of water. They drink the blood of the cattle. Now, that is just a society that is totally 100% against the Most High. Don't matter who the people are. The fact is that their practice of eating the blood and drinking the blood would cause them to be against the Most High. Then you got people who are trying to, don't want their food thoroughly cooked, and they want some blood running out of it. Okay. They would be totally against the Most High. They say, oh, yeah, I believe in the Most High, and yada, 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 but they are still eating blood, okay? So we have to make sure that, you know, whatever we cook, that it is cooked well enough that there is no blood remaining in it, because we have a commandment not to consume blood. Now he tells you why. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The animal is not equal to you, but the Most High made the animal equal to you that he might make an atonement by its blood, its life. He says, but there's going to come one that whose blood is going to be shed that is equal to you, in that it's going to be a man. And the Most High was never saying that condoning man or human sacrifice. He says, but specifically for sin, one is going to suffer for everyone. But the truth of the matter is, as we've seen in this blood covenant, anytime you transgress, 99% of the time, you might as well say 100%, because you can't, to be truthful, we can't say 100%, but 99.9% of the time you transgress, it required your life. It required the shedding of your blood. And so when it was ignorantly, he says, okay, rather than shed your blood, I'm going to allow you to shed the blood of this animal, because you did it in ignorance. And I'm going to equate this animal's blood to being equal to yours. So if you kill one of these out in the field or in the camp, and you are sacrificing it to something, and you don't bring it to the door of the tabernacle, I'm going to say that you're guilty of murder. You know, we kill an animal, we don't ever think that we're murdering an animal. You know, we can say we killed it unjustly, but, you know, that's as far as people's minds and hearts are going to take it. But the Most High says, no. You have shed blood. You have killed unjustly, and you were to be cut off because of what he made it represent. So we got to understand that we can't do this. Might be in our heart to you know, want to do something that pleases the Most High. It might be in our heart that, you know, we think that maybe we don't know Messiah came and died for sin, and we want to get close to the Most High. We read this or we read that, or the blood of bull and goat. Because the blood of bull and goat, he didn't want for sin. He allowed it because of us. He made a way for us to be covered over, to be made an atonement for through the blood of those animals. He says, I never wanted that for sin. I'd rather, you know, for the peace offering and for the willful offering, the meat offering. These things are a sweet savor, a sweet smell in my nose. But as soon as I got to do it for your sin, it stinks. So I never wanted that. So we got to understand that in the law, in the covenant, the animal sacrifice was to make an atonement for us, because other than that, it would have to be us. But he says, you know, if you are, and he says, not only that, if we really think about it, not even if you are willfully disobedient, this animal is not for you. I don't want you killing this animal trying to atone for your sin when you willfully disobeyed me. You knew right from wrong, and you chose to do wrong. You can't bring that animal. You can't kill that animal and sacrifice its life for your sin. But if you were ignorant, then you'd be able to bring this animal as a sacrifice in your stead until the true sacrifice that is actually truly equal and actually superior to you is going to come and pay the price for you. That would be Mashiach. Now, he was a man, but he was far more than just a man. He was your Lord. Just like you are the animal's Lord. He gave us dominion and power over the animals, over this world. And so the ruler of this world, which is us, put it our rulership and gave it over to Satan when we chose to sin. And then he became the ruler of this world. But the one who was given dominion over this world and over everything in it was man. He's the ruler and the God of this world. And the God of this world has an Elohim, which is the creator of this world. So we were given dominion over it. It does not bow down to me, the creator of it. And so much dominion that he give us over it, he says, this is your realm. This is your realm. And for me to even affect a change in it, I got to come as one of you. I gave you that much authority. You are the God of this world. Everything in this world, you have dominion over it. It was given to you by me. Even to the point that when I want to come and correct what you have done, I got to come as you, a man. That's how much authority he gave us. He says, and the only way to get around it is I can't do it from the position of Elohim. Because I gave you that much commandment. And if you won't do that, then in order for me to affect change and to save you, I got to become one of you to affect that change and to make a way for you to come back to me. So I couldn't do it from the position of Elohim. I want us to think about this. Can't do it from that position. That's how much authority and power he gave us in the world. Let's continue. So we just read that if you eat blood, you shall be cut off. Verse 15, and every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of his own, of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Then shall he be clean. So if you find something that's died on its own, you know, you find it like a cow, you didn't kill it, it's dead. You eat it, you are unclean until what, the evening. Got to wash your clothes, or if it was killed by some wolves or something, and you are hungry, and you can't make a kill for yourself, and you cut off a leg or whatever, of this half-eaten carcass, then you were to wash yourself, and you were unclean until the evening. Okay. Didn't say you were cut off. But if he washed them not, nor bathed his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. You are in sin. You are in transgression. He says you can come out of that transgression by washing your clothes and yourself, and you are unclean for the evening. But if you don't wash yourself, if you don't wash your clothes, you bear your iniquity. You are in sin. And whatever, you know, if now a wild animal comes up and kills you because you were, what, disobedient. You knew what you were supposed to do, but you didn't do it. Okay, so Most High is simply saying, hey, don't eat the blood. Don't eat the fat. They are his. The blood was to make an atonement for you, and the fat was belonged to him. It's a sweet smell to him when we burn it on the altar. It's mine. Don't touch it. So we have to know what things please our Elohim. We have to know which things what displease him. We have to know these things. Let's continue. Go to the next chapter. Leviticus chapter 18. Starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am Yah, your Elohim. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, shall you not do. Now, we got to understand something. And let me sort of set this scene so we understand what the Most High is saying. You've been in Egypt in this present condition about 215 years as a people. Okay? The time that Jacob came into the land concerning the 430 years that they were in, it says the sojourning of the children of Israel was 430 years to the date, okay, to the date. And at the time that Jacob brought his 12 sons into the land, and he came into the land to live there, to sojourn there, to visit there because of the famine. To the time that the Most High brought them out, they had been living in the land about 215 years. And you can figure this out by the birth and deaths of different people that are given in the scriptures. You get it down to 215 years. Now, the total time of slavery that they were in bondage, somewhere between 64 and 132 years, 430 years, not 400 years. So these things are proven in the scripture. He gives us these names and these dates for a reason. But in this scripture that we're reading right now, they have been in Egypt, some of them born in Egypt, never knew Canaan, never knew Jacob, never knew the land of Canaan, okay? Only thing that they knew that they were born in Egypt. And that their forefathers say, hey, you know, we're not Egyptian. But you can equate it much to the lives of African American so-called Hebrews that only know America or only know the country of their captor. And so they only know the way of that land. Now, our people weren't even in captivity their whole time. They were taken captive after there was a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. But they knew the Egyptian way, and they worshiped the Egyptian gods. They followed Egyptian law. They had Egyptian culture. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. For all practical purposes, they were Egyptian. Okay? And so the Most High is talking to them now. And he's telling them, just listen to what he's telling them. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am Yah your Elohim. And the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwell shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Okay? Before this time, they walked in their ordinances, in their laws, in their statutes, in their commandments. And so now he's telling them, I brought you out of Egypt. There are ways I want you to forget them. Where do you think that golden calf came from that Aaron made for them? That was an Egyptian deity. And this is what they knew. And so the Most High says, okay, I want you to not follow after their ordinances anymore. I want you to not follow after what they worshiped. I want you to not do the way that they did, even when you were sojourning in the land of Canaan and you weren't a people yet, but you followed their way. So it's just like I said, us being African American, we knew Christmas, we knew New Year's, we knew Easter, we knew the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and it was just the way that it was. And that's what we followed. And it was the ways of our captors. And so we were doing those things. You know, going and buying the Easter dress and, you know, getting your new Easter suit, going to church and participating in the Easter egg hunt, you know, being ignorant of the Most High and his way. This is where our forefathers were at when the Most High is talking to them now. Now, I want you to forget their ordinances. I want you to forget their holidays. I want you to forget their way. You won't do after those things anymore. So how many of us today are struggling with, we don't want to give up Christmas. We don't want to give up Thanksgiving. We don't want to give up Easter. We don't want to give up Valentine's Day. We don't want to give up the 4th of July. We don't want to give up any of these days that we were grown up, that we were taught, and we grew up with to celebrate. This is how he's talking to the nation of Israel at this time. And this is how he's talking to you and I even now. Okay, the ways of the land that you're in, the ways that you are used to, I don't want you following those anymore. I don't want you doing those things anymore. Okay, let's continue. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances therein. I am Yah, your Elohim. Don't keep the judgments of the nation that you're in. Don't keep the ordinances of the nation that you're in. Trust me, the ordinances that the Most High is giving you as a people are far superior to the ordinances that the people in the land that you grew up in. And most of their ordinances and their laws are based upon the laws of the Most High. So we got to understand that, you know, we struggle and fight with. Trust me, if you don't break the ordinances of the Most High, you surely will not be breaking the ordinances of the country that you're in. But if you keep the ordinances of the country that you're in, you will break the ordinances of the Most High. So as a classic example, don't mean to harp on this all the time, but it's just so bold in our face. Most High says, if a man lays with a man, he's supposed to be put to death. But if we don't practice with our men laying with other men, then we ain't got to worry about even transgressing that. We won't transgress the statutes of the Most High, and we won't transgress the laws of that country. We don't participate in it. We don't do those things. So this is what he's talking about. You shall obey my judgment, and you shall obey my commandment. And people saying, you know, well, we're not in our land. We can't do it. That's a lie. They don't want to do it, okay? They want to stay where they're at. They want to continue to do what they've been doing. And that's the truth of the matter. Verse 4 again. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am Yah, your Elohim. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Yah. None of you shall approach to any that is near of his kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am Yah. Don't be trying to sleep with your sister, your mother, your cousin, your first cousin, your aunt, your uncle. Don't be coming and don't come near to your kin to uncover their nakedness. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife. He's talking about your stepmother. Thou shalt not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother. That's your stepsister. Whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter. Because you got men out there that, you know, they will sleep with the mother and the daughter. Even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover their nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinsman. That's your aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, your aunt, for she is thy mother's near kinsman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. Her daughter's daughter, that would be like your granddaughter. Don't be messing with them to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinsmen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, because the other is her lifetime. Now, he's not saying that you should marry two sisters, even though we have Jacob that took two sisters, but now the Most High is saying no more. Don't take two sisters to vex them that way. Okay? Let's continue. Verse 18 again. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, beside the other in her lifetime. So, as long as that one sister is alive, you can't take her sister to be, you know, your wife. If she dies and y'all had a relationship like that, then, yeah, as he says, you can take her to be a wife at that point. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. So when he's saying to uncover their nakedness, he's not saying to see them naked. He's talking about sleeping with these people. That's discovering their nakedness. To see somebody naked, heck, that was common. You stand in a house, many times it was many families or generations within the house. You're going to see somebody. Especially, you know, you got mothers who with their children, to be naked in front of their children is nothing. It's almost considered like, you know, it's just a natural thing. It's not talking about seeing them naked. It's talking about sleeping with them. Okay? Sleeping with them. And I'm not talking about sleeping with them as far as getting in the bed and y'all going to sleep. So sleeping around, I'm talking about actually having sexual intercourse with, that type of sleeping with. Sexual intercourse, let's just make it clear. Because you won't do it with any of these. So he's saying, and you can pick up on that, especially that he's talking about that in verse 19. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Now, we seem to understand that we shouldn't be messing with the neighbors. But then we got so many of these dark secrets in families where a father has messed with daughter or granddaughter. Or uncle has messed with somebody, brother and sister, mother and son, incest. These things are common today. And so, you know, men, people have tried to make these things where, you know, it's not that big a deal. They're not going to run around and advertise mother and son sleeping together. But then it's learned about. So he's saying these things are wickedness. Father messing with daughter, wickedness. Uncle messing with niece, wickedness. So he defines these things, and we for sure can't be practicing them. And when, you know, because of the spirits that were on us, our people, because of the spirit of perversion, the spirit of whoredom, we knew these things weren't right, but yet and still, somehow they happened to go on in some people's families. Okay. And so now we need to keep this with our family secret. Don't leave your kids alone with Uncle Charlie. There was a reason, because Uncle Charlie been known to touch or to act inappropriately. Don't leave your kids with Aunt Hazel, because Aunt Hazel's been known to do some things. Family secrets. Okay. But the Most High said that this is wickedness. It's wicked. And so, you know, these things have to be, because whoever did it, truth of the matter, by the scriptures, they're supposed to be cut off. And somehow, you know, we want to protect family, we want to protect, you know, well, you know, maybe it wasn't that bad. That trauma to each individual is different, but it's still trauma, and they are scarred because of it. And so, well, we kind of encourage the behavior when we hide it. We say, oh, well, just watch them around them because, they've been known. Have been said that, you know, they've been accused of doing X. And maybe that's just that, you know, nobody ever caught them or red-handed or whatever. But when the child comes, you know, children don't typically make up those types of stories out of nowhere. There's usually some basis of truth. I mean, I've seen some kids that were old enough and mature enough that, yeah, they could probably manipulate a situation. But that's not normally the case. There's exceptions for everything. Okay? But that's not normally the case. And no matter what, in these instances, especially, you know, if we know that the family is not perverse, that most people in the family, you know, don't do these things, but you got this oddball in the family that does those things, then we have to always give the child the benefit of the doubt. Because, you know, innocent, when you are doing something and when you're a child growing up, let me put it this way, and there's going to be some things that you're exposed to as a child, but for the most part, most children grow up innocent. And so it's not until they're introduced to something by someone that those thoughts even come. And then when they say that it was a relative that did it, then that's that relative taking advantage of that child because that relative is sick in their mind. They're sick in their mind. And so they're taking, you know, they are feeding on the vulnerable within the family, the children. And maybe somebody in the family did it to them, so now they're doing it to other children within the family. Those things have to be dealt with. And a lot of times, you know, you could say, well, was that person, were they messed with? But the truth of the matter is, they can't be allowed to be around family, especially the young ones, at any time. Because that nature within them, you know, you don't know why is that little girl sitting on his lap. Is this an innocent thing or is there something else going on? And when, you know, when it's innocent and there's nothing going on, then nobody wants to, you know, say, well, nobody wants to make accusations because, well, if it's completely innocent. You know, she's just being his niece or he's just being her uncle. But it's then when you find people who corrupt those things and they start touching inappropriately and then convincing the child that, you know, you shouldn't say anything. Or if you say anything, then I'm going to make it appear that you're the one in the wrong. That individual cannot be allowed around the vulnerable amongst us, the children, because they are corrupt already. And how did they get that way? The evidence says that it happened to them. Somebody in the family, that spirit within the family, got a hold to them and did that to them. And now they are with the same spirit running around looking for the vulnerable within the family that they might do it to. And so you want to feel for them, but then at the same time, that's the type of spirit that, and the type of corruption that once it starts, it's almost impossible to get out. This is like almost like a permanent spirit. And so they might be able to control it for a minute. They might be able to subdue it for a minute. But the truth of the matter is, it's like, I'm going to speak honest here. It's like when most people, their first exposure to sex, however it happened, if it was not, even when it was traumatic, tends to be the way that they define sex and what turns them on. And so, again, this is not an absolute, but the vast majority of people it is. So this person was exposed by whatever means. Because that's the way they first experienced it, that's the way that they will seek it out. That's the way that they know. And so if somebody preyed on them and this is what they know, then when they're seeking out that same feeling, they will prey on others who are vulnerable like them. And so they might say, I know this is wrong, but this is what I learned to like. And so whenever the opportunity presents itself, it's almost overwhelming to them because I don't get to get this exposure like this all the time, and this opportunity don't present itself all the time. And even though I'm thinking about it all the time, the opportunity is not there like that all the time. So we got to understand that you can't have that person around the children because that spirit will pass. He will pass that spirit on to another child. And that child will grow up and pass it along to other children. It is just the way that it has worked. And that's the way that spirit works. So, you know, we have to understand that the Most High has said these relationships are unclean. These types of relationships are not to be allowed. Can't be sleeping with your uncle. Can't be sleeping with your aunt. Can't be sleeping with your grandfather. Can't be sleeping with that woman and her daughter. And then that woman and her daughter and her daughter's daughter. Can't be doing that stuff. And so just have to understand that, you know, you got a lot of people out there that don't care. You might think that, you know, they got high morals and you got a 15 or 16-year-old daughter and they're looking at her like they're looking at you. And maybe desiring her more than they desire you. Or they got a desire for you, but also a desire for your child and using you as the way in. You know, and a lot of women go through this. And sometimes their daughters will tell them, hey, somebody messed with me. And I've met women who and dated their daughters who chose the man over their daughter because they didn't want to be alone. They didn't want to be without a man. And they allowed this man to abuse their daughter. And then when the daughter's in rebellion, or the daughter goes after her next man because she didn't feel like she protected her or whatever, then, you know, it's always the daughter's fault. But no, the truth of the matter is she wasn't protected. She was left and put in a situation where this person had access to her. And abused the situation, abused that trust. You know, because when we're children and we're told that, you know, adults are the ones who are the authority figures, and we don't really have that talk about sex, about immoral relationships or acts, about what potential somebody could do, and we don't educate our children, you know, and we think that, oh, this would never happen, and this person wouldn't do it, so forth and so on, yada, 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 yada. And then it happens. And then we may feel guilty to where we don't even want to face our own guilt in the situation, our own fault. So denial comes up. Now, I know that didn't happen. Or I know I didn't expose my baby that way. And we don't want to, you know, take credit for it until, you know, it's put in our face, really in our face that, yeah, this happened. So that can be with family members, that could be with boyfriends, girlfriends. And again, this is not just a man thing because these spirits be on men and women. Okay, so you might think, oh, well, my daughter's just hanging out with this girl, with this woman. But you have to look at those things these days because this woman may have that spirit of a man. She's a woman, but she's feeding on girls. And so we got to understand these things and be mindful of them. But the Most High sets the rule. Don't be sleeping with your near kinsmen. And then even if you have you have a woman, because evidently People were getting into relationships even now, even then. When I say now, I'm talking about the time of the scripture, that the man was marrying a woman that already had kids. And you don't sleep with her daughter. And you don't sleep with her daughter's daughter. So, you know, and you know the most I bring these things up because they were happening. Why is he going to say something about something that's not happening? He's bringing these things up because they were happening. So he says, don't do it. Do you think that's going to come forward into the new covenant? Of course it is. It's not going to change because, oh, wait a minute, we're not under the law. So now it's okay for a father to sleep with his daughter. It's okay for a grandfather to sleep with his granddaughter. It's okay for a mother to sleep with her son. No, those things are not acceptable even in the New Testament as things are brought forward. So when people say they're not up under the law, then the scriptures, because you know what? There's societies where these things, there's no law against these things. There's no law. The customs of the land. You know, they had small villages, so it was custom. They couldn't find any other men or eligible people in their village, so this man slept with his brother's daughter and married his brother's daughter. And it was acceptable culturally. And the Most High says, no, you're not going to practice after their way. You started that off that way. You're not going to practice after their ordinances and after their judgment. And you shall not come near to your near kinsmen. Why? Because these other nations and societies and even within Israel were doing it. So he speaks up against it and makes a law against it because not because it wasn't happening, because it was. Okay, let's continue. All right, let me stop at verse 20. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. That's his wife, his daughter, that's in his house. If you're not married to her, then you shouldn't be sleeping with her. Verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy Elohim. I am Yah. Now, these people, like I said, I saw this on TV not too long ago. And, you know, before reading and looking into this, I would not have equated it to passing through the fire to Molech. But then when you understand that passing through the fire, like the bonfire, and jumping over the fire, these are some traditions and some rituals that some people had. This is what they would do to Molech. They say pass through the fire, it would mean that not like they literally just passed the baby through the fire, or they would jump over the fire. They would throw the baby through or over the fire. This ritual with fire and jumping like over it, and was passed down to many different cultures in a different way, but it was always the same thing. So I saw this, you know, I can't remember what video I was looking at, and you saw, you know, these people, it was Scandinavian countries, and they're running and they're jumping over the fire. And it meant something. It had certain meanings to it, jumping over this fire, passing through this fire. there was a religious and spiritual meaning to it. But you're looking at it, it might, you know, look innocent, but it wasn't innocent. So the Most High says, don't pass your children through the fire to Molech. Okay. Verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is sin for a man, two men to lie together. It's an abomination. So when we are saying by societal, you know, by society, it's okay for a man to marry another man and to lie with another man and have an intimate relationship, sexual intimate relationship with another man. The Most High says, don't do it. How in the world then suddenly we got mankind saying it's okay? Same thing goes for a woman and another woman. He says, don't do it. But then we want to say, oh, well, I was born with an attraction. I'm a man, and I was born being attracted to other men. Then you know what? That probably could be true. You can't act on it. And if you do act on it, then you are supposed to be killed. Oh, I was born with an attraction for, I'm a female, and I got attraction for other females. Might be true. But you can't act on it, and there's no way out of that situation. If I say, oh, I'm a man, and I was born with attraction to females, and then I start sleeping around with them, then he says, I'm a whoremonger. Okay, and the remedy for me is to find the one that I want and marry her and stop going around fornicating. But you can't marry the man if you're a man that you're attracted to. And if you're a woman, you can't marry the woman that you are attracted to in the eyes of the Most High. But the society came along and said, oh, yeah, you can get married now. It's all good. You're faithful to that one man or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. And in the church, you got churches that are allowing this stuff. And it's right in their Bible. You can't do it. But because they don't read the law, And they want to do what they want to do, because probably most of them had some type of attraction like that, to even say that it's okay. No person who is straight is going to ever agree that, you know what, two men is okay to be together. Where are they going to base it upon? Oh, love? But that the naturalness of it, or let's say the unnaturalness of it, to never allow that person to agree that, oh, that's okay. This should just be, you know, I can't do it, but if y'all feel, I'm like, but the truth of the matter is, the bottom line of it is, the creator of the world said no. So you want to use, by what authority? The creator of the world said no. The creator of man said no. It is unnatural. It is an abomination. So how can then the creation come back and say, well, you know, we like what we like, and I'm a booty band. And that's what I like. So that's what I'm going to do. Problem is when you get so many in society doing it that they make it legal. They voted into being legal. We need to change the rules. And so now we're going to vote that a man and a man can be together and a woman and a woman can be together. And pretty soon a man and an animal and a woman and any animal, whatever, who can tell you, how they going to say it? Who can tell you who to love? Who can tell you what to love? That's what they're going to frame it like. That's how they frame being, you know, being gay. Who can tell you who to love? The Most High can tell you who to love and who you can't love. He tell you, you know, you can love them, but you can't be with them. It is an abomination. And when we try to justify it, because it's a new day, it's a new time, it's a new century, You can't change the word of the Most High. And you can't turn around and say, oh, we're going to modify it so this is okay. Can't do that. Change the truth of Elohim into a lie. So you look at this porn, and you got these two men, you got this one man with this two women together in the bed together. And the women are interacting with, not only with the man, but themselves between the women. He said it is wickedness. And the reason that the woman can interact with the other woman is because she has a desire for women as well, or those both those women. And got desire for a man too. The Most High says, don't do it. Don't matter what society says. Doesn't matter what is acceptable in the time that you live. But that's the word of Yah say. Okay, let's continue. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with the mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. He's not talking about laying down and going to sleep. He's talking about not having sexual relationships. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. You know, if you walk into somebody's home and they got a pet and they don't seem to have, you know, they might have normal relationships, but this pet is always sticking their nose in that person's crotch, you might want to suspect, because that's not natural for an animal to do that. It's natural for them to stick their nose in their own kind's butt, but not in the butt of another species. Shouldn't be nothing there to attract that animal, except for they were taught. So said, you shall not lie down with that animal. A man shouldn't lie with an animal, and a woman shouldn't lie with an animal. But we know that it goes on. And he says, it's confusing because you're confusing the animal, and you're confused. But this animal will start seeking out to do that with other people. Why your dog always doing that? Oh, he just like that. No, he ain't just like that. That's a sign to you that, you know what, when they're here with this animal by themselves, this is what's going on. Let's continue. Verse 24, defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Women sleeping with animals, men sleeping with animals. Men sleeping with all their relatives, women sleeping with all their relatives. He's saying these things are going on already. Where in the nation that I'm casting out before you? Spirit is in them. So hear the word of the Most High. These things aren't being made up. They aren't being, this is nothing new. People are just reviving these old spirits and doing those things, and in their culture, in their times, it was acceptable. Now that, you know, the vast majority of the world may say, you know, no, we don't do that. Well, they don't do it openly. As much as they were doing it, where they had their own country and they were, you know, it's common. So, the sheep herders out in the fields alone start taking advantage of the sheep. And it was just accepted. And you wonder where you get all this syphilis and gonorrhea and all these other types of sexually transmitted diseases that people pass one to another. And so I don't know how anybody can meet someone and sleep with them on the first night, even if you're in a society that doesn't observe the word of the Most High. You don't know what this person does or what they don't do. The fact that they will sleep with you on the first night means that they will do some of anything. It's nothing to them. It's all about the pleasure. You know, for a man that will meet a woman, meet her in the grocery store, meet her in wherever, and that's their first time meeting and they end up in the bed together, you know, morally, both of them got problems. I don't care how much attraction was there. Let's move on. Verse 24 again, and we'll finish it up. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore do I visit iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. All of these things are what? Abominations. Any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation or nor any stranger that sojourns among you. Don't let your own people do it. Don't let the stranger among you do it. Don't let them come from Norway and say, oh, it's okay. We do this all the time. Don't let them bring it in. Okay, verse 26, and I'll just read this and finish up. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither of your own nation or any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you. The land is defiled. The land spewed not you out also, when you defile it, as it is spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep my ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourself therein. I am Yah, your Elohim. So nothing is new up under the sun. And Yah does not give these ordinances and these commandments because just to give them. People were and are still doing those things. All of these things, sleeping with animals, sleeping with, you know, fathers trying to sleep with their daughters, sons sleeping with their sisters. All this stuff is still going on, even today. Today. And so you get caught up in that stuff. You meet somebody, and you know how we are today. We're in relationships, and we're living together. We're not married. This person's had been married 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and you don't know who or what you're getting. And you date for a minute, and then you sleep together, and then all of a sudden they're asking you to do things that maybe you had never thought about doing before. They're trying to make it appealing to you, make it exciting. Well, let's just experiment. Let's do this. Let's try that. And then you're sexually adventurous, or you consider yourself to be living a boring life, and you are open to these things because maybe I'm just boring. I'm too strict, and so you, for some of these things, you know, some things that you might say, oh, no, I ain't going for that ever, and there's some things you might say, oh, you know, I might try that, because this is how we do. And then we find ourselves, just like with anything, there's never a fine, there's never a set definition. It's always the boundaries being pushed. The boundaries being pushed. Well, yeah, I was turned on by that then, but now I need something different. I need something more. Always something to do, try doing some more or adding to it. Because that spirit can't be pleased. And that spirit of pleasure can't be pleased. So we'll always want to find something else that's going to, it feels that is pleasurable to it. And if I get used to this pleasure, then I need to find something else. And so we become consumed by it. And so the Most High says, you know what? You surely shouldn't be sleeping with somebody that you're not married to, and you surely shouldn't marry somebody that you really don't know. And if he or she is asking you to do things that are, we can't even say today, out of the norm, because today these things would be considered normal for a lot of people. People just would not be surprised by it. Now, I don't do it, but I ain't surprised. And the truth of the matter is, as I said, this spirit is not just in the men. There are more women addicted to porn today than there are men. You know, you go out there online and you hear women talking about, this is how I got delivered from porn. And then you start reading the comments, and all these women got the same issue, addicted to porn. And everything that goes along with it. So it's not just men, because, yeah, 95% of the Internet is used for porn. Don't mean that you can't use the Internet for good, but most people are out there, they're creatures of pleasure, and they're looking to satisfy themselves. And what they can't get in real life, they can imagine it through porn. And then they really start trying to live it. So you got these young girls getting into relationships, and the boys then learn their sexuality through porn. So now, yeah, we can do all this stuff. So the Most High says, all these abominations, these people were already doing, you shall not do them. That's why they're being kicked out of the land. That's why I'm cleaning up the land. That's why the land is spewing them out. Because they love to do this stuff. So you have to really talk to and listen to whoever is going to be your spouse. They start talking about, oh, I like this. And you know, there's certain things that are done that people just expect. This is normal. And it's seen it so much, it's normal. And then people want to say, oh, that's not perverse. It's normal. No, it's normal for you. It's perverse in the eyes of the Most High. You know, you watch bestiality enough, you will start to think that it's normal. You see it enough, you start to think that it's normal. They start showing it on commercials. You start thinking that it's normal. Well, you know, today everybody doing that stuff. They normalize it. So we have to follow the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Don't care what the world says about it. Don't care what you've been exposed to. If you've been exposed to it, then know that it is not normal. Know that you have been corrupted. If you have a desire for it, know that you are corrupted and perverse. So you're looking for another spirit, like spirit, that will loves it and will allow you to do it or participate with you. But you are both corrupt and perverse. We can't be that way. So if you have done these things, pray even right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, you are the wickedness that is in the world. People come to you, Father, they hear the truth, and they want to be saved. But they have indulged in some or all of these things. And some of it they like. Some of it they'll say, you will never catch me doing that. As though that was any worse than what they were doing. It is all perverse and abominable in your eyes. Father, if there be any amongst us that have this spirit, Father, we rebuke it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, even now, that you would drive it out from them, that they should not feel comfortable in taking part in it, that they should not seek it out, but that they shall be delivered from it. For it is wickedness, and it is an abomination in your eyes, and you shall not dwell where these things are going on. To the man that can't keep his eyes off of some woman's behind and is always looking and thinking about, what would that be like? Father, we rebuke that spirit even now. To the woman who can't keep her eyes off the man's crotch, and I always wonder, what would he be like? We rebuke that spirit even now. To the man or the woman who is contemplating or already messing with animals, we rebuke that spirit even now, Father. Let your perfect will be done. Let them clean up their lives and come to you, or let them leave and be forever delivered to the world. Because these things cannot be amongst your people, Father. We cannot practice these abominations and say that we are yours. There is no way to justify ourselves in these matters. So we rebuke even the thought of them, even right now, Father, in your precious name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We rebuke them and command them to return to the pits of hell where they come from. If you've been running in a family for years, Father, let this be the last generation they affect. For these things are not new, and they are not beyond men to do. All women to do. What you thought might make your bedroom life more exciting only brings condemnation from the Most High. Father, these things I pray in your name. If there should be any, deliver them from that wayward eye. Deliver them from that spirit of loneliness that tells them that they got to do what somebody wants them to do, or else they're going to be lonely. Deliver them from these vices. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On this evening, we're going to continue in the Word of Yah. Continuing with the Elohim of Blood Covenant. See, because we think that, you know, a lot of people think that all this stuff is new. You know, we're this enlightened generation and men discovered this stuff. No, they've been doing this wickedness forever. It ain't new. It's new to you. And if you get caught up in it, and you get used by it, and you catch something from it, then you want to say, oh, I made a mistake. If there don't seem to be any harm to come from it, you can find it hard to justify, well, why I got to stop that? What goes home behind closed doors, that's my business. What happens in my wedding bed, that's my business. The Most High says, no, an abomination. They are an abomination. And that his elect, his people cannot be doing it. So we are going to continue in his word, letting his word tell us what is acceptable and what is not. Not what we think in our own hearts or in our own minds or what we can justify our own selves. But let the word of Elohim be true. Every man, what? A liar. So don't care whether you grew up with it or whether you got exposed to it, whether you liked it, whether you don't like it. The truth of the matter is, if you're going to be the people of the Most High, then you got to be obedient to his voice. And if he says it's wrong, it's wrong. Period. So I pray for each and every one of you. I pray that you have a blessed rest of your Sabbath. I'll see you this evening when we will continue with the word of Yah, the Elohim of the blood covenant, where we are looking at his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, those things that he says are right, and those things that he says are wrong. And if our thoughts and our minds don't line up with his word, then realign yourself up with his word. Repent for those things that you have done that are contrary to his word. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but I cannot love you anyway like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Never fall away. Yeah, who are you living for? kingdom